Shalom Aleichem, my friends. I'm here in Yerushalayim in my house. Baruch Hashem, I have a little base medrash where I get to sit and learn. It's giving me chizuk to be here. I definitely miss yeshiva. I miss shul. And it's causing us to have a real cheshbon on nefesh, everything that's going on. Very, very difficult. Our heart goes out to all of those who are suffering in Klal Yisrael, and we're davening for Yeshua. I was thinking in davening today, we say in Birchus Kriyashma, Matzmiach Yeshuais, Boire Refuos, Neres Ilois. We call HaKadosh Baruch Hu a Boire Refuos, someone who creates a refuah. And it's very interesting because in Shmona Esrei, we don't use such a lashon. In Shmona Esrei, we ask Hashem to give us a refuah shlema. We don't ask Hashem to invent or create refuahs. But we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into our davening the things that we need to daven for in all aspects, because today we really need a bore refuos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates refuahs. He doesn't just give refuahs, He creates them. And we're davening for such a thing. You know, it's interesting. I heard that that the Prime Minister was getting interviewed on public television or radio, I'm not sure, and he was saying that we are praying Be'ezras Hashem that we will find a solution, and the interviewer corrected him and said, no, we're depending on the Weizmann Institute. We are not depending on Hashem. And the Prime Minister, even though he's obviously a secular person, but he said the people in the Weizmann Institute are praying that they should be successful. And it's a very scary thing how you see that Bari Olam is here in front of us, and he's begging us to acknowledge him, and there are people who at all costs won't recognize that there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at all costs. And even though we see, though, the Pintali Yid and the Prime Minister is saying that over here, if you want to be successful, you have to daven. And we're getting Musar from secular people. We should daven that all of Klal Yisrael should come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the purpose of all of this. That's what Bari Olam wants from us, is to see this type of thing as something that can bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I heard from one of my rabbeim. He said, you know, in the Makkos, we still had, after all the Makkos, we still had people who, you know, who were not zocha to come out of Mitzrayim during Makkos Choshech. So they were taken out of the equation, Rachmana Litzlan. And the question is, how could they have not steiged? I mean, Makkos Choshech was very far down the line. It was at the end of a wonderful set of nisim v'niflos for Klal Yisrael that were going on, and all this, and all the way at Makkos Choshech, there was no chizuk. These people were still holding by their apikorsis, disconnected from geula, wanting to just stay in Mitzrayim. And there is a certain koach in a person to deny everything, to not allow for chizuk, to not allow for messages. And we have to make sure that on our own level that we're not part of that group, because it is very easy to get very absorbed in statistics and get absorbed in the news. But, you know, the Stipler once pointed out, he actually pointed this out when it was talking about the statistics for smoking, that Yidden are not part of statistics. The Goyim have statistics to define their fate. They have what's upon them called Hashgacha Klolis. There's a general Hashgacha on them. But when it comes to Yidden, there's a Hashgacha Pratis. There's a direct message to every Yid. They're not just laboratory rats, Rachmana Litzlan, that you could just sort of predict what's going to happen. But each Yid is getting a personal message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this situation, not just a general message, but a personal message in whatever way that they are being inconvenienced, even small inconveniences, they're causing us to steig in whatever ways that people have fears. It's causing us to steig, and every single part of our lives and every aspect over here is made for Yidden to steig. If somehow having the kids at home is a tremendous challenge, if somehow even Shalom Bayis presents its own challenges when people are in such tight quarters for such long periods of the day. These are all things that Bar Yalom is doing directly to each individual to see that he could be able or she could be able to steig. And we have to answer to the calling. We have to really shine over here. In general, we don't like to talk about instilling fear. I just don't do that. My Rabbeim taught me that that's not the way we give Musar today. Today, we don't have a Yiras HaOnesh, a fear of punishment. We don't do so well with that at all. It makes us very uncomfortable. And even once there was someone who gave a shir in Ber Yankiv, which Revolba attended. Revolba was the Mashgiach, and the Magid Shir was talking about Gehenim and going on and how scary Gehenim is, how hot Gehenim is. And Revolba came over to him afterwards and said, I want you to know that Gehenim doesn't exist today. And obviously he didn't mean that Gehenim doesn't exist, but what he meant is that that's not the way we deliver Divrei Torah. That's not the way we give over Musar. We're more upbeat. We are more thinking about Tamu Uru'u Ki Tov Hashem Ashri Agever, right? How fortunate we are, Ashri Agever Yechzabai, how fortunate we are to be Yidden. But I would like to add, and this is important to realize, that not always can we give the shmooze. If I give the shmooze, I could decide not to give a shmooze about Yiras HaOnesh. If somebody else gives a shmooze, they could decide to give a shmooze that's not instilling fear. But there's only one mashgiach who can decide to give a shmooze about Yiras HaOnesh, even in this generation, and that is Bar Yalom. Bar Yalom can give whatever shmooze he wants to, and Bar Yalom knows exactly the psychological ramifications that it has on each and every one of us. And if Bar Yalom is giving us a shmooze right now, he's giving us a shmooze of fear. Bar Yalom is instilling fear in us because he feels, apparently, that our other mahalach, even though it's good, but it's not good enough for now. We're not getting it. We're not getting the message. And we need to really think about the value of life. We need to really examine whether we're using our lives properly, whether or not we really realize that life itself is a gift. And, you know, I once saw a beautiful idea from Rabbi Akiva Tatz. I think I saw it when I was a bacher, even in his book, The Teenage Guide to Judaism. Over there, I remember it from over 20 years ago. Made a very big impression on me. He said, why do we need, why do people enjoy extreme sports? I mean, there's these sports, a person can take a helicopter and drop himself off a mountain and off on a mountain that was uncharted territory, and he just goes. There's so many dangers, could be avalanches, there could be cliffs. What motivates a person to do something like that, to do such extreme sports? And it's a very popular thing today to live extreme, to do these types of things. And the more dangerous, the better. And he said a beautiful idea. He said that if somebody wants to have the joy of life, sadly, for that person, the only way he could really feel it is if he almost loses his life. So actually, the reason why people enjoy extreme sports is the thrill of almost dying makes them feel alive. An amazing insight. Now, how sad that is for people that's their way of getting Simchas HaChayim is by almost dying. But we, Ashreinu Matov Chalkenu, we, Kihem Chayenu Varchemenu, our lives are filled with Simcha. Our lives are filled with meaning. We have Simchas HaChayim on a daily basis, at every moment that we have the ability to live big and realize that life is a gift, but it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels like we're not remembering that enough, and that we need a pretty harsh reminder over here. So each one of us has to do a level of tshuva. On our level, it means just being mekabel something that is small and doable, but something that's really pointed at growth. I once heard from one of my rabbeim a wonderful idea about tshuva, that how do we do tshuva? How do you pick something to do tshuva on? See, he said that the way to do tshuva is to find the thing that you're most embarrassed about, the area in your life that you're most embarrassed about, and work on that area. And I'd like to explain why. What's the depth of finding the area that you're most embarrassed about? The whole idea of being embarrassed is a confrontation with yourself, that you feel you're bigger than that. Why do you get embarrassed about one thing versus the other? When you feel that you're really above something, you get more embarrassed when you do that thing wrong, right? If a person doesn't feel that he's above forgetting a Borei Nefashos, so then it's not going to embarrass him so much. He'll try to work on Borei Nefashos and remembering it, but he doesn't feel embarrassed because he feels like that's where he is in life, that's who he is. He's somebody who could forget a Borei Nefashos. But perhaps if somebody saw something inappropriate, Rachmana Litzlan, on his phone or on the computer, that would cause a tremendous amount of embarrassment because he feels he's better than that. He's a yeshiva bacher. He's a ben taira. He's somebody who really should not be connected to that world. And if a person feels embarrassed by something, it's a sign from Hashem that he's better than that, and that life is better than that for him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a strong reminder over here. Unfortunately, all the inspirational shmuzen that we've had in the past that do not instill fear are not enough. And we have to bow our heads to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the greatest mashgiach, who knows what is best for us, who knows that we need a stronger type of shmuz over here. Unfortunately, it must be the Hesber is like the Mesillas Yesharim. The Mesillas Yesharim says that a Leitz, who's a clown, is somebody who really, anytime he gets a message of any sort of Avodas Hashem, of change, of development, of tshuva, he knows how to make a joke and basically get rid of that feeling of need to change or need to grow. And the Mesillas Yesharim says there's only one Eitzah for a Leitz, and that is to be confronted with danger. Every person loves life, every person loves living, and every person, if they felt that someone was holding them by the legs over the Brooklyn Bridge, would immediately start thinking about the meaning of life. And the Mesillas Yesharim says that this is Borei Olam's last weapon for people who really don't know how to take in proper Mussar, is to sort of hold them by their feet over the Brooklyn Bridge and communicate with them that life is a gift, that we're missing the boat, that we're not as Yiddish, as Jewish as we could be, that there are things here that need real change, and creating a sense of panic, a sense of urgency. And there are going to be the people who are like this Chiloni reporter, who are going to just look at the Weizmann Institute as the source of the Borei Refuos. And such a person is a Makas Choshech Dika person, and hopefully this person will change their minds about their situation. But these are the types of people that did not make it out of Mitzrayim because they just weren't getting it. They just weren't hearing the message that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving them. And you can have someone else who is totally secular, perhaps, or Mesorati, somewhat traditional, mentioning that we have to daven to Hashem for this. You know, to hear the Prime Minister say that again, who is, you know, he does daven on Yom Kippur, and I don't know exactly what he does, or, you know, I don't know the details But the point being that that if people are being reminded to pray, to daven, then every yid on wherever they are and whatever walk of life, they're turning towards Hashem, they're turning towards their Maker and realizing that that even though they've forgotten HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to give a few friendly reminders to us over the years, and unfortunately we need a little bit of a scream. The pasuk in Mishlei says that somebody who doesn't patch their children, doesn't really care about their children, doesn't really love them, because sometimes a child needs a patch. Now, in general, today we don't patch for the same reason that we said before, which is, the chosech shevet, the person who holds away the rod, so to speak, as the pasuk says. So that's usually the ideal approach, and especially today, kids don't get the message from harsh things, like we said, that we don't mention the Yiras HaOnesh, but if your kid is going into the street, into a busy street, and you don't yank him by the ear or whatever you can grab and throw him back to the sidewalk, you don't love him because he's killing himself. And there are certain times where it's obvious that we need a patch. And it seems that Borei Olam holds that we need to be yanked by the ear or thrown to the side of the road, that we're doing things that are very destructive to ourselves, that we are not being careful with the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the Neshama Tahora Asher Nasata Bi, we're not being Shomer that Pikadon properly. And we have to think about how to take care of it and how to get the message quicker. We have to get it quicker. And we should be Zocha, Be'ezras Hashem. This is a Zman of Geula, and it could be very well be that Borei Olam wants us to be Poina Elov, to turn to him in order to be Ma'orer, the Bias HaMashiach. But I think that one thing that we're doing, perhaps, or I myself, I'm talking to myself, I'm here in my quarters, in my house, in my little base medrash, just thinking out loud. Something that we might be doing a little bit wrong is talking about Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. It's very good to talk about Mashiach. We believe that Mashiach will come and can come at any moment, and that's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emuna. But by just talking about Mashiach, like it's something that just whenever something bad is going to come happening, we need Mashiach. We need to do tshuva. We need to do tshuva. The Chafetz Chaim says in his Maimar and Sipisli Yeshua, everyone has that question. I'm not ready for Mashiach. I need to prepare more. I need to do more. I need to be better. I need to accomplish more. I need to clean up my act more. And there are different answers to this issue, but the Chafetz Chaim actually says, you're right. Mashiach will be embarrassing for a lot of people. There is a buzzer over here, and we have to make the buzzer. We have to get our acts together before the buzzer. It's not just like Mashiach's going to come and all of us are going to be happy. A lot of us are going to ask for an extension, kind of like when people ask for extensions on their taxes or things, or a mortgage or whatever the case may be. We'll want an extension on Mashiach. But the people who do tshuva shlema, who really analyze what they're doing, how Yiddish they are they looking at inappropriate things, which again we pointed out is a clear message today. In the we mentioned this in one of the Shmuzin, that the term that's used for something going wild on the internet is to go viral. It's something that never existed in my time. Nothing ever could go viral because everything's limited. In the olden days, even when there was television, even when there was radio, there was a limit to what you could get. But now things could really go viral, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us that all the schmutz in the world that starts all the way from a little bat in China, some weirdo deciding to eat a bat thought it was a good chill, and all of a sudden that garbage can travel around the entire world and destroy it literally with a pandemic. That's the message over here. The message is that we're so exposed to the world. A lot of news. I'm reading news or looking at news on the on the computer, and I'm trying to do a cheshbon and nefesh because I'm seeing that even things that are officially called Jewish news have a bad effect. And I'm trying to think to myself. I'm thinking out loud here in my house in Yerushalayim on Ramat Golan that this Jewish news also has a terrible effect. There's a lot of stupidity on the internet that's under the category of Jewish news, and people are clicking on it and watching this, watch that. You can go onto a Jewish news site, and it says here, watch the first baby being named Nachman Meuman. That's a really exciting thing to see, a baby who's named with an absolutely ridiculous name, which makes no sense whatsoever, and which is literally child abuse, to name your child Nachman Meuman. But hey, why don't I just look at such a thing? Because it's there. This stupidity affects us. It's affecting me personally, and I'm trying to deal with this. All this new technology, even with the phone that we're using from Yeshiva, which is basically a kosher phone, but it presents challenges. I definitely think that this is—it's not simple, and I definitely feel that I'm trying to figure out what's the right thing in this area. I learned with a Rav in the morning, who's a brisker, and he saw my phone number come on, and he saw that it wasn't the regular phone that I use with him, and it seemed to me that he was very uncomfortable learning with me on the phone. And the truth is the phone is pretty harmless, but he's a person who's living B'Kedusha V'Tara, and for him, something that's pretty harmless is not considered totally safe, and he happens to be right about that. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing these things, but I'm saying that we should be doing them with a sense of responsibility, a sense of real understanding of that life is a gift, that being a Yid is a gift, that being Shomer ourselves from Ra is a gift, that being Oisei Toiv is a gift, that learning Torah is a gift, that davening is a gift. And we have to really try to get the message. Baruch Elam's giving us a Musar Shmooze that's unusual. It's a Shmooze that if I would give it in Yeshiva, I would rightfully so be asked to leave Yeshiva because it's just too harsh. We don't do that today. But again, the Mesilas Yesharim says that certain people, like us, just laugh our ways through life. And we need more. I was actually listening to a shiur of somebody who has the virus, who could barely speak. He was speaking for about 10 minutes with all of his strength to send a message, and it was very, very powerful. It shook me to the core. And he said, he asked that nobody should make jokes about corona on Purim. For some reason, it sounded like instead of Gam Charvona Zachar Letov, they were saying Gam Corona Zachar Lera. The kids were going around singing this, and it's normal at times of crisis. A little bit of black humor helps you through it, but there is the concept over here of a Leitz. A Leitz is somebody who makes everything a joke and laughs in his way to the grave. He never really grows. He never really develops himself. And he never really gets to the point where Borei Olam would have wanted him to. And he ends up exactly that, being a joke. I once, when I was a little kid, was reading the Guinness Book of World Records. And it was talking about the most funny or ridiculous tombstones. And one of them, it was a doctor, a dentist. It was a tooth. The tombstone was shaped like a giant tooth, And it says, this is the tombstone of Dr. Schwartz. This is the biggest cavity he'll ever have to fill, right? Obviously referring to the cavity in the ground. And it's amazing that somebody could, even confronting that, the Malach HaMaves, even at the base Avel, so to speak. It's one thing at the Chasana, but it's at the base Avel, be able to be so light and just knock it off. There was somebody I knew who was a very big Leitz, and I remember going to pay a shiva call by him. He was an older fellow. He was the generation before me. And I was wondering what the shiva house was going to look like. And I got there and they said, what was Granny's last words? Get me a beer. And they were all laughing and laughing. And I felt like I wasn't at a shiva house bichlal. I felt like I was at some sort of bar. I didn't know what it was. And it was exactly that. They were confronted with a difficult situation, and they decided to laugh their way through it. But this same person, I remember he also, when I would come back from Eretz Yisrael, he would tell me, how's jail? He called the yeshiva a jail. That was his way of joking about everything, and unfortunately his children are not from today, as you could imagine. But he called yeshiva jail. But I remember when he got sick, he got, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, he got Yenam Achla, and I remember seeing something that he communicated to a relative of mine. He wrote a letter, and I read the letter, and it was like, it was poetry, like on the level of something that you would think should be from Sefer Tehillim. It was mamish about the Ribbono Shel Olam and meeting your maker, and he died sometime after that, but I was like shaken. Is this the same person who was such a jokester? He's writing here such poetic lashonos about meeting his maker and rectifying the past, and it's so sad it had to come to that. It's so sad that he had to actually lose the gift of life to appreciate the gift of life. And it's a time to be serious. It's a time to be more serious. I actually had prepared a shmooze before this about various different points that we have to deal with the coronavirus, and I made a lot of jokes because I thought that it would be important just to keep the olam upbeat. But I got rid of that shmooze, even though it took me 45 minutes to record with my kids, and it was a whole balagan. But when I heard this fellow, this Rav, who was sick with corona, speaking and saying that he was so, felt it was a terrible mistake to make any types of jokes in this situation, I took it to heart, and that's why I did not put that shmooze on the podcast or on the yeshiva website. And we should all try to think about the gift of life. We should all try to think about how wonderful it is to be a Yid, how wonderful it is to be happy and healthy, what a responsibility it is not to abuse that gift. And we have to appreciate that we have a yeshiva. We have to appreciate that we have Rabbanim. We have to appreciate that we have direction in life. And Bezras Hashem, in that schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make this the Zman of Mashiach, not a Zman that will say, hey, we would like an extension because we didn't finish what we needed to do, but just the opposite, a Zman where we, in Berega Achas, are Nepach, into an Ish Acher, a person who sees the world so differently. And even in a moment, a person can change his whole understanding of how he's running his life and what he's doing, and be able to meet Melech HaMashiach with his head high and say, yeah, I'm on your team. I got it. I got it early. I got it before it was too late. And we should be zeicha that this year, Bezus Hashem, we should be B'Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh. You're all welcome to eat the Zvachim V'Psachim here with me in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh. With the greeting of Mashiach b'mheira v'yameinu. Kol tuv, I love you, and I wish you all brios Hanefesh, Brias Haguf, among all of Klal Yisrael, we should all see Yeshua's Gedolus, and Hashem should be Shomer his people with a Shmira Me'ula, and we should see how this is going to bring us L'tova, how this is going to bring us to our Tachlis, Be'ezrus Hashem Bekarav.